Well, hi, listener. I'm so glad you're tuned in to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's Friday. It's July 13th, 2012. And, Bob, I'm glad you're here in the studio with me. And there's a story behind the story, as only God can kind of orchestrate and work out. My intention originally for this Friday edition of Mark and Friends is to interview this special guest who grew up in China, who actually we were going to need a translator on the phone lines with us to help with his storytelling and the unique and special work that God has done through this individual in his country. And we're going to have to keep some of it quiet or unsaid because of not wanting to jeopardize his family members and some things in the country where he's done certain things. But he is coming to the area. And so as we were working this all out, Bob Fulling, a dear friend from years ago, was kind of coordinating some of this information and working it through. And it ended up being in the best interest of everyone to not have him on the radio. And so I was a little disappointed, and I said, wait a minute, Bob, you have a story, a God-honoring story on how you've done 5 visits to China, 5 missions trips, and the unique calling you've had on your life since basically 1998, 99, and you and I met up through some Christian events years ago, and then you were on our trip to Israel in 2000. So, kind of with that said, the story behind the story. So initially, we were going to have a special guest in the studio. But Bob is the special guest that I believe God has raised up for this very hour, because as we've been talking, just a little show prep before having you on right now, Bob, I've been blessed by hearing how God uniquely works circumstances and situations to bring you to the point of your first trip to China, selling your business and all that. So before we get into your story, and I know your story is his story because you want all the glory to go to God, tell us about the event that's happening in 2 days at your church at the First Baptist Church of Rantoul on Glenwood Drive. That's 401 Glenwood Drive. So those of you with GPS, just type in First Baptist Church Rantoul, 401 Glenwood Drive, Rantoul, and you'll be able to attend their special 10:45 service this Sunday. But tell us about that service and who's going to be speaking and why people should come out if they don't have a church home, or maybe they can go to their early service at their church and then make it to the 10:45 service at First Baptist Rantoul.
First, Mark, I want to thank you for letting me come in and tell you about our service that's coming up this Sunday. It's a dear friend of mine. We call him John Stone in English. I met John in 2002, and he's coming to share his story about his imprisonment in China, and it's something that will touch your hearts. So I hope that you will have the opportunity to come and do that Sunday morning. As Mark has said, it's a 10:45 service at 401 Glenwood in Rantoul, Illinois.
And I know, I think recently the Rantoul Press had a photograph of him with President
right.
Bush, and he was incarcerated, tortured, imprisoned for a number of years
right.
for, I don't know what the charges were.
Actually, what John was involved in was that he was printing Bibles. The government actually has an authorized printing company that does print Bibles in China. And John had a printing business and was printing some Bibles, and a period of 2 years from 2005 to 2007, John printed 1.8 million Bibles and gave them away. He wasn't charging for them. He was giving them to the house churches of China. And this was the reason he actually was imprisoned. And when he comes to us on Sunday, that's the story he's going to be sharing with us. He originally was sentenced to life, and that got reduced because one of his daughters was born in the U.S., and consequently the U.S.-American embassy got involved in this picture, and they were trying to get his time reduced. And then in 2008, the Olympics were over there, and George Bush was there. And he was very much aware of John's situation, and through some influence of President Bush and 3 or 4 other government leaders, they were able to get his imprisonment reduced down to 3.5 years. And so he was released in 2011. He is now living in this country in Dallas doing theological studies, and will be going to seminary later on.
So we'll recap some of this at the end of the program, but that's this Sunday at the First Baptist Church in Rantoul, 401 Glenwood Drive in Rantoul, as mentioned. And if you need more information or directions, or maybe just caught a portion of what was just said and shared, you can dial 217-892-2667. That's 217-892-2667. 2667. Well, Bob, you and I haven't met up for, I don't know, a number of years. And when I saw your name, because I know Pastor Ken,
right,
and he mentioned your name, and I'm like, Bob Fulling, he used to own Rogers Supply, and I vaguely remember he sold that. At the time, I think it was to spend more time with your family and grandchildren. That's what I was thinking. But after talking with you a few minutes ago, there was a whole God-ordained, God-orchestrated circumstances that all kind of fell in together. So I'm going to basically ask you to take us back to 1998, your meeting with Dr. Webb. But before we go back into some of your story, I know you're married to Karen, you have 4 sons and 11 grandkids, so I'm sure you want to do a shout-out for some of your family members.
Oh, it's just been a wonderful family for me, and I love my wife so much. We met at Eastern Illinois University, and it was a left-hand desk that brought us together, and that was in 1965.
Now tell me, what's a left-handed desk?
A left-handed desk is the previous class before us, there was a left-handed person, and where I sat, I wanted another person sitting there, so we'd always move that desk. And so whenever she came in, that desk was there, and she would give me this strange look like, why did you give me the left-hand desk? And so that's how our relation got started, all over a left-hand desk, but it's been a wonderful time together. We celebrated 45 years of marriage this last May. So,
congratulations. Well, I know you have a pivotal turning point, if you will, with certain news from Dr. Webb back in 1998. So is that the framework you want to start there?
Yes, I would like to start at that point. That's when my life really began to change. I had seen Dr. Webb, I believe it was in late January of 98. And I'd had my left great toe was, it was dark and it was seeping blood. And so my wife kept saying, you really need to get that checked. And of course, like all husbands, we put that type of thing off. And so I finally went to see Dr. Webb about it. And he said, well, I'm not real sure. I think it's a blood occlusion, but I'm going to send you to a podiatrist and follow up on this. And let's see what's going on here. So on February 9th of 1998, fortunately, I had asked Karen to go with me. Sometimes, you know, you don't do that, but you know, this was a part of God's plan. She was there with me, and Dr. Larkston came in, who was the podiatrist, and he took one look at that, and he said, I think that's melanoma. And Karen and I looked at each other, and we both know melanoma is a very serious cancer. And so we were very, very upset. So anyway, he looked at it, and he said, do you mind if I take a picture of that? And I said, well, I guess not. I said, why? And he said, well, I've never seen one quite that large. And he said, how long have you had this? And I said, well, I've probably had it a couple of years. He said, well, let's do a biopsy, and let's send that out, and let's see where we're at. So we got that done, and we both left the clinic with being somewhat upset, as you can imagine. But this is, you've got to remember, this is where God is involved the total way. So about 3 or 4 days later, I meet with the oncologist. It was confirmed that indeed this was melanoma. And he said, so how long have you had this? And I said, oh, 1 or 2 years maybe. And he looked at me and Karen, and he said, you know, if you've had this 1 or 2 years, the likelihood of us being able to, yes, we can remove it, but more than likely it has probably spread. He said, there is a treatment that we can do, which is interferon. But that, you know, certainly the first thing that we need to do is remove the toe. So I met with the orthopedic surgeon, and he looked at the toe situation and gave me additional bad news that, you know, this was not a good cancer to have. There isn't a good cancer to have, but that it needed to be removed. So anyway, about a week later, we got the toe removed, and then we began a very intensive process of deciding what we needed to do as a couple.
And in fact, I think at the time you also learned of somebody else who had something similar that passed away right away.
Right.
So really you were evaluating kind of life and death, how much
right.
longer you're going to be alive to
right.
serve God or to just hear his voice.
Yes, the orthopedic surgeon said, well, I've done one other of these and that person is already deceased. So that was not encouraging to our hearts either. So anyway, one of the things that the oncologist said was that you really need to get your things in order. He said, statistically, the chances of this returning are very high. And so that was the process that Karen and I began in 1998. It was actually by that time, it was late February. And we began a journey of about 5 or 6 months of trying to make a decision as to what to do with the business. We had 75 employees at the time, and they were our greatest concern. We wanted these people to be able to keep their jobs and continue to work at this company that had been a part of our lives for 30-some years. And that was our real dream. And as we looked outside of the company to possibly sell it, that wasn't a good match. And so all along, God had a plan, and he had started that plan in 1987. In 1987, we had hired a young man to come to work for us. Initially started out driving a truck for us. And it wasn't too long later than that, and he started working in our distribution center in Bloomington. Over the next couple, 3 years, he moved into management of that distribution. And then in the early 90s, we brought him into Champaign in a sales position. He worked in that. Then we moved him into a staff position and purchasing. So here was a man that was trained in almost every job that we had. And this was a man that God was preparing for this position.
And this is like this 20-year-old fresh out of the Navy,
right,
that you hired, and then you thought, you know, hey, here's a good employee. And he just was proven through all these years, unbeknownst to you at the time, that he would maybe take over as God was laying the groundwork to free you up to do other things.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so we began a conversation with him in August of 1998. And finally, the 1st of September of 98, we made the decision that we were going to sell the business to this young man, that we would carry the paper on it. So on September 15th, we made the formal announcement to our employees that Rogers Supply Company was going to remain intact, that one of our employees was going to be buying it, and that consequently everybody would be keeping their job. And that was the big thing for us. We wanted them to be able to stay. After we announced that on September 15th, Karen and I took a quick trip down to Fort Lauderdale. And this was when God's plan really began to unfold. And as I talk about this, I want to read a scripture that is so important when we talk about God's plan. It comes from Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." As we looked at our situation, I was saying, God, that doesn't sound like a plan that's not going to harm me. This sounds like a plan that could harm me. But anyway, we take this trip to Florida, and we're in Fort Lauderdale. This is, again, September of 98. And one of my dear friends calls me, and he said, "My mother has passed away. I know that you can't be there because you're in Florida, but I wanted you to know you were there for my father's funeral. And so anyway, I wanted to let you know." And I said, "Yeah, we probably will not return for that, Jim, but thank you for calling us." Well, all during this period of time, there was a hurricane that was skirting South Florida. And the next morning we get up, and this hurricane is no longer going west. It's coming north right into Miami and Fort Lauderdale. So Karen and I quickly change our plans, and we fly home, and I call my friend, and I said, "We will be at your mother's funeral," which was going to be in Oakland, Nebraska. And so the next day after we'd gotten home, we got in the car, and we made our journey to Oakland, Nebraska. The only place to stay in Oakland, Nebraska is a bed and breakfast. And as we were checking in, the owner said, "Oh, by the way, there's another couple staying here tonight." As we were leaving to go to the visitation, I met this couple coming up the stairway, and we just greeted each other. And I said, "We'll probably see you when we come back." So we went to the visitation and then came back to the bed and breakfast. And I could hear the couples talking up in the parlor. And so we put our things in our bedroom and went into the parlor, and I began to listen to the stories that this man was telling. And the stories were about his trips into China. He made a number of trips each year going in to support missionaries. One of the biggest problems in the missionaries in the field is the rate of failure. It's a 90% failure. They're
like they burn out?
They burn out. That's exactly right. They burn out, and they return. And so this particular organization goes in to help support these missionaries. We go in as a non-denominational group. We make three to five trips a year. We go into China. We've been into Russia, Malawi. We've been into Egypt and Laos. So we're going into several different countries, but China has always been our focus. So that night, I thought about that, and he had also told me, he said, "I really didn't intend to be here tonight." He said, I had been given this gift certificate that was expiring this weekend. He said, so we either had to use it or we were going to lose the value of it. So he said, I didn't intend to be here. I thought about that night, and I said, here I am. I'm in Oakland, Nebraska, where I did not intend to be when I was talking to a fellow on Monday, but here I am in Oakland, Nebraska, didn't intend to be here, but a hurricane brought me here, and I'm listening to a fellow who didn't intend to be here either, but under circumstances of a gift certificate, he's using it up. I said, I think God's got a plan here, mm-hmm. and that's how this whole thing began to evolve. And from there, I made my first trip with this man in the next June of 1999, and it was just an eye-opening trip for me. I got to see the heart of China. I got to see the people of China, and I got to see the missionary of China, and listen to these people, their stories that they had to tell. And a lot of it is heart-wrenching that they're going through so much. They're going through cultural changes. They're going through financial changes. They're going through changes of friends. And it's just a tough arena for these missionaries to be in.
And then just the very persecution or the secrecy that they have to keep so that they're not persecuted.
That is correct. Yeah, the missionaries are not an open situation, particularly in China. They work under the pretense of either being English teachers or this and that. And so it's a difficult arena that they are in. And so anyway, that's the purpose that this particular ministry goes into countries to help support the missionaries.
In case you're just tuning in, this is the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, heard on Great News Radio, broadcast on 4 frequencies throughout East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana. This, along with all of our other program lineup, is streamed, so you can also listen on your iPad, iPhone, or other media device by going to greatnewsradio.org. In case you just tuned in or can't stay with us to hear the remainder of this testimony with Bob Fulling, I invite you to go to our archive programs page at greatnewsradio.org, where you can hear this broadcast in its entirety. Also, if you want to contact this radio ministry, maybe you have some ideas of others that would be able to share God-honoring stories. Maybe they're Christian musicians or artists or have a powerful transformational faith story. Let us know by calling us at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777 or email us at staff@greatnewsradio.org. Or maybe you're old school and want to write to us. Our address is Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Now, Bob, we only have a couple minutes left, and I want to highlight again the special event that's going to be at the First Baptist Church in Rantoul. But I also want to say, here you are, about 53 at the time. You told you have cancer. You're thinking, okay, Lord, boy, I've followed you faithfully. I know you well. This doesn't seem like a good ending. I'm only 53, but you and your wife kind of pray about it. You have surgery. Now that I'm looking at it, 13 years removed, you look very healthy. You've been to China 5+ times. You are filled with life. You're pouring into your kids and your grandkids, and you're excited about this event that's coming this Sunday at your church because this is somebody that you've worked with, that you've grown to love and know by being in China yourself. So highlight again the information about what's happening this Sunday at the First Baptist Church in Rantoul during the 10:45 service.
John Stone will be at our church. He will be sharing his story about his 3.5-year imprisonment. One of the interesting things that happened there was his ability to get a hold of a Bible, and he led Bible studies in the prison system in China, and that's unheard of. The unique thing was he had the quietest cell in the entire prison, and as the guards came to appreciate that, it's just an amazing story, and if you have the opportunity, I really encourage you to come and visit.
And we were going to try to have him on the air with us, but in light of some of his family members still in China and not wanting to jeopardize anyone's life or just for the security of the situation, we have Bob in the studio. Thank you, God, for your story, Bob, and the ways that he's worked in and through you and Karen these years and just the ways you're raising your, well, your sons are raised now, but your grandkids. I know the other day when we called, I could hear all these little girls' voices in the background.
Yes.
And your desire to keep being intentional. And for some of our listeners that may have never contemplated short or long-term mission opportunities, what would you in our closing minutes say to them, or why would you encourage them to get out of their comfort zone and get into God's courageous zone?
Well, if I reflect on my own life, if you would have told me on February 8th of 1998 I was going to be doing this, I'd say no way. Mm-hmm. But God had a plan here. And I would encourage you, when God kind of nudges you, listen to him and see what he has to say and take him serious. I could not think of a better 14 years that I've had than these past 14 years. They've been a blessing to me. And I'm here to say that in this case, cancer has been a blessing to me. Mm-hmm. It totally changed my life.
Mm. Well, give our best to Karen. And for those of you that maybe just tuned in, I've had Bob Fulling in the studio here at Great News Radio. And you can listen to the program. It's archived at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Maybe you know a friend that's contemplating serving in China or going out into the missions field. Here there will be a missionary that has served in China along with Bob and other saints that can certainly encourage you or validate you in stepping out and being used of God in various ways. So this Sunday at the 10:45 service at the First Baptist Church in Rantoul, 401 Glenwood Drive in Rantoul. If you need more information, call 217-892-2667. That's 217-892-2667. I'm going to close out with a verse that Bob earlier referenced, Jeremiah 29:11, along with a few more verses. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Listener, God has an interest in your heart. He had an interest in Bob, and he led him through cancer and through these last 14 plus years, and he can lead you today. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And it says here, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God hears your prayers. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seek the Lord today. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.